it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. And it's not a competition, but like if it was, I would totally win the season with Wayfair. Giant outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments in every style and color, yep, got those on Wayfair. Garland, accent pillows, cozy throws, nutcrackers, Wayfair, Wayfair, Wayfair. When it comes to hosting, Wayfair's got me covered there too. I got a brand new dining table set that fits the whole family, sheets and towels for extra guests, and even the cutest holiday bed sheets for the kiddos. All thanks to Wayfair. And the best part, I got it all shipped fast and free. It's a Wayfair holiday miracle, y'all. I'm not saying there's a champion of Christmas or anything, but if there was, it'd be the lady with the year-round Christmas village who shops at Wayfair. That would be me. For everything festive and just your style, all delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app to totally win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break. Brought to you by Sand Hills Volvo. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sippel.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks. I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Good morning, happy Wednesday to you. Steve Sippel, Jake Sorensen live in studio. Bill Bush with us from once again in the Regal Piano Room from afar. Bill, good morning. Good to see you in that piano room again.
Thank you. It's nice. I'm out in Curtis, Nebraska, and the level of hospitality out here, put it on your bucket list of a place to come and stay. It's remarkable. Yesterday, they have a little pass you can take with a fob type of a thing go to a fitness area in a building adjacent to the hotel.
Okay.
And that didn't work. It hadn't been reprogrammed, so I had trouble getting in. So a couple of locals, Tommy and Penny, spent 20 minutes, and they called, I believe they called the board and the mayor to get to the bottom of it. And the mayor was able to let me in via phone into the fitness area.
Via phone.
That just doesn't happen everywhere. That's what happens in Curtis, Nebraska, and it was incredible.
Via phone.
Via phone. Just the fact that two strangers did that much work to try to help me out was bizarre. Curtis. And it just lets you know that the world is still, and there's a lot of good people out there.
You have some clout. You have some clout.
There's no clout. There was zero clout. There was
your money. I don't think there were, you're moneyed.
Now, Bill, I did call you yesterday.
Don't even know what Steve's talking about.
You have
He's
clout.
Just yelling random things now.
There were three restaurants and a bar, I believe, in Curtis. Where did you end up last night for dining,
Bill? I appreciate that, Jake, and that's a great question. I went to the Anvil.
Anvil.
I also was kind of taken back with, like, it was like double cheeseburger or the prices, and I went with the cowboy burger. With the tots with it, but the pricing again is unbelievable. It was like $10. You know, use it now. That's always a $15.99 to $16.99 item now.
Nice.
But that's not what the cost is at the Anvil. Ran some great conversation like that. So yeah, it was great being at the Anvil and having that, and then getting back to my room and getting a chance to catch up with you guys before I go give a little talk here in a little bit.
The Anvil.
It's a cool name for a bar.
It is.
It's a great name for a bar.
Cool name for anything.
And nice people in there. Had a full menu, I mean, for a Tuesday night. And, I mean, Curtis is, like I said, this is obviously they have a college here. And so that's what makes everything operate.
Wow. Now, wait a second. How was the crowd at the Anvil?
The Anvil was probably just like 10 to 12, probably. Yeah, the Anvil, I don't know what an Anvil is, but the whole thing was that I mentioned to Jake where I'm at and hoping I can find a place to dine later. And Jake on the phone immediately goes, well, here's your options. He looked them up for me.
He is a millennial. So
I'm capable of the phone. Capable.
I went down to the front desk and asked him about the Anvil, and they had information, and I looked like I knew what I was talking about, all because of Jake Sorensen in the World Wide Web.
So the
Anvil.
And
What did you have again?
A burger.
There's not that much excitement about the Cowboy cheeseburger or whatever it was. It was just a burger with some onions on it, which was
fun. I would like to see the anvil.
Is the wind blowing out there? That wind
is crazy
from
wind here, Bill. It's crazy wind in Lincoln.
I've not busted out. I just went down for coffee. We're on the fringe of that a little bit. So we're getting wind, but we're not getting that 50, 60 mile an hour wind. What is the deal? I don't remember this in the past. I've already chased my grills around twice this year. I mean, what is going on with this insane wind that we're getting?
It's what the hell wind?
this is nuts, yeah. It sounded like a tornado last night when you were sleeping.
Thank you for saying that.
It was bad. Like,
I was like, what's going on out there?
Like midnight, 2 a.m. Like, what is going on out there? And this morning, yeah, driving in, cars getting pushed around like crazy out there.
I don't know about that, but there were...
I put my recycling out this morning, and it flew over to a different
house.
Right,
there was a lot of... It was trash buckets on the street wind. A lot of trash buckets on the street on 56th. I mean, on 56th, there's a lot of people that will get up and go, oh, trash bucket on the street. Yeah. Got to go get that.
It caused some issues.
Yeah. Down 56th by Wesleyan. You remember you used to live that down there?
Loved it, yes.
Yeah, there was like trash. It's that
wind.
I was
on Huntington.
Okay.
I know Huntington.
And so you would take 56th and go north or south. In this case, I was going south, and there were buckets, trash buckets on the street. It's that wind.
They're saying gusts up to 55 miles per hour. Consistent winds at 25 miles per hour
but,
right now.
But 50 gusts. Degrees.
It's about 40 degrees right now. So it's not like, it's not ice cold. It's pleasant out there. No, temperature-wise, it's just very, very, very windy.
It's a north wind blowing in from Canada, but it's not going to be cold for the next 2 days. It's odd.
It is weird in December.
And you're going to
do we have coldness coming in then, Steve, after that? Will there be a cold front
really
coming in, Jake?
Cold.
Jake needs
I'm
to
looking at the
look
next
at this
his
app.
Right? The next
he needs to look at his app.
The next 10 days, I mean, Saturday is cold at 22, but otherwise we got 50 today, 50 tomorrow, 39 Friday. The next week's all mid to upper 40s next week. You have one cold day on Saturday, which is going to be 22. That's it.
This is
just not good for a white Christmas. I don't see it.
This is super saver discussion.
It is.
Isn't
like
it odd
saver.
That Canada wind
is blowing in a warm,
warm temperature? Odd. When do you get back? Can I ask you that? Is that personal?
More personal, yeah, a little bit more on the personal side, okay. But no, it's not till until Thursday.
You'll be back on the show on Friday.
Going
you'll be
on.
Back in studio on Friday.
Yes, so. I have a couple things about the. You know, I do not like being away from school. I don't like being out of studio at all. But I appreciate the Breakers allowing me to come on via Curtis, Nebraska. My first trip to Curtis, very friendly. And also, I stopped by 738 Ag. And so,
you saw Joey?
I'm supposed to make sure I tell you that too, Jake. It's not 738, it's 738. Instead of 738, which I got, we took some heat on that yesterday at the office. But I was in the home office with Joey. Yes.
So we've been saying it wrong the whole year.
What's that?
We've basically
I still push back a little bit because I still struggled with this with the 738 and 738 being a big difference, I guess. Like
yeah,
that.
Thank
but,
you.
It was
you.
A great conversation.
We'll go with that
I was
one.
With Joey and the crew. Yes.
How does one
I was
get
with Joey and the crew?
Oh, sorry.
I took the Holdridge exit and then went down from there. Then I whipped west from there and it kind of wound me through. So I was on some gravel and stuff. So it was awesome. So we're in basically I'm south of North Platte right now, Steve.
God dang, you got to take gravel to get there?
Well, his house is on gravel. Well, that is there. There's no way to get to Joey's without being on gravel.
So then
it'd be impossible.
Question, Bill. I've spoke highly about the Blue Moose in Bertrand. Did you lay eyes on the Blue Moose going to Joey's place?
I did not, and I was a little bummed about that. I was a little bummed. They have a little convenience store. I had not dined yet, and it was about 2 o'clock. And I thought, you know what? I won't stop here. I'll wait till I get to another town. The next few towns didn't have anything.
Okay. So
to get all the way to Curtis. I wish I had stopped at the convenience store. There looked like a nice looking one right there on the corner. I'd like to have taken part in.
A Breaker does say that it's not going to happen. A Breaker says there's a really fun 9-hole golf course in Curtis to maybe check out next time you're there. Curtis.
I can see it from my room. I can see the
golf
course from my room.
What? Really?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. You're all situated.
So, yeah, Curtis, incredible town. I would recommend, if you want to get away for like just 3 days, this is where I would come.
How did you sleep?
That's a good question. In the hotel bed.
I slept very well.
Good slumber. Yeah, the
hotel's incredible. The service here is remarkable.
You should have said lying down.
It's a 5-star.
Is it a 5?
Now, question. Brent in Minnesota on the text line says, when Bill walks into 738A, does he walk in the door and yell, "Joey!" Did you yell that, Bill, yesterday?
I didn't yell it. Joey was not in there. Oh, it was family was all in there, so I didn't want to startle anyone. I probably should have done that.
You should have.
But we hung out for quite a time. And then I can't remember. Oh, I'm so mad. I can't remember the dog's name. But they had a St. Bernard that was awesome. And he just kind of stood right next to me the whole time. It just made me happy.
St. Bernard.
Big boy.
He sleeps on the floor in the office.
Okay.
Me happy.
No kidding.
It's a big boy.
Yeah, very happy about that.
St. Bernard. You had a nice dining experience last night, Zip, did you not?
Yeah, Charlie's on the Lake. It's pretty good.
I've never been there before. I've heard good things about that place in Omaha.
Yeah, it was good.
Where is this?
Charlie's on the Lake is it's a highly sought-after restaurant in Omaha.
It is?
Highly spoken of. I think so.
What lake are
it's
they on?
It's not Mahogany, but it's really? Still pretty good. I've been told this before. I had friends who have worked there in the past that thought
it was good.
A big deal.
I had cod. No, I had salmon. I had salmon on rice. It was good. It was fine. I had a Jack and Coke. It was really strong.
Charlie's.
Yeah, it was good. Nothing much to, not much in the way of interest. Nobody's there. Mm-hmm. There's hardly anybody there. There's like two tables and us. It was fine.
Slow Tuesday.
It was a busy
night.
Day. No, it was a busy. Well,
it was a slow Tuesday for them, I'm saying.
Slow for them, not for me. I was busier than hell, and I barely got up there in time. So I called you.
But you did. Yeah, you did.
Idle chit-chat. I don't know if I have a lot of – I was just busy. I was working yesterday.
Did you have to take a meal to your mother-in-law?
No, yes. Actually, yes. Okay. Yeah, up the bill a little bit. Otherwise, it would have been more palatable. Yeah. But calamari. We did the – I'm not big on appetizers. I don't know why we got an appetizer. You don't need to get I'm like, why do we even get a main course? The calamari was a huge calamari. They were good. Charlie's on the Lake was good. It was very good service, and it was fun.
I'm glad you had a good meal. I've never.
What
been
did you
before.
Do yesterday,
I had
Jake?
Nothing for you. I'm going to the game tonight. That's official. I'm going to the game tonight.
Okay, we have a game.
We'll get to that in a little bit, but I'll be at the 8 p.m. Nebraska ball game, so I've been guilted. I don't need to be guilty. I want to see the team. I would going to watch the game regardless, but I will be in attendance tonight for the game. Other than that, I have nothing from yesterday. Just
I don't think.
Okay, who are you sitting with? Someone gave you a ticket.
I am sitting with a longtime friend, a former ticket colleague, Tom Stevens. I'm going with Tom Stevens tonight to the game.
Really?
Yes. Longtime. He was one of the original on-air host at the ticket. Tom Stevens invited me tonight to the game.
I know who Tom Stevens is.
I'm talking about for Bill, but yeah, Tom Stevens is going with tonight. So
talked to Tom before.
It'll be a fun night.
That's
who is this Tom
I couldn't
Stevens?
Imagine getting that call. I couldn't imagine Tom Stevens calling. What I have found out through all my ticket people offering tickets is that I was offered the ticket second. Jake gets offered him first, and then if Jake's unavailable, then they text me. That's what Brian Morrow did.
Worked
out great.
Well, here's what happened. We asked on the show, should I go to the game yesterday? And then I had three friends, including Tom Stevens, who reached out to me saying, I have a ticket. Do you want to go? So that's why he called me, because we asked the question, should I go? Then when we said yes, that's when people asked me to go to
did you
that's how it
did
worked
you
out.
Vet all three of
no,
those
I didn't vet. I said who's
say
first
yes to the
I said
who has the better ticket.
No, Tom was first and then Michael for Wings and Rings chimed in, so I told you I was going with him. Tom had texted first. I didn't see the text.
Tom, the owner of Wings and Rings.
No, Michael, the owner of Wings.
Michael,
I told you I was going to go with him yesterday, but I didn't see that Tom had texted me before that. So that's how Tom surpassed Michael in the equation.
You've not seen Tom Stevens behind the counter at Wings and Rings.
That'd be quite a sight.
No, I just mixed up the names. I got to get locked in. Oh, you shouldn't allow me to have my computer.
You always have your computer.
I was doing banking just now. I mean, it's just like, banking. Just like, I got it.
Lock in.
Bill,
you
noticed,
do online banking, Steve?
Wells Fargo account. Bill noticed the other day I was kind of like all over the map. And it's gotten bad.
You had your message board up. That was the problem.
Yeah.
By the way, Sean Nomos says, Sean says that Charlie's on the Lake was a sought-after restaurant in the year 2000. Not so much now.
Now, hold on. I'm going to defend it.
My bad.
No, I'm defending it. I'm not going to. See, I felt bad about my review. It was very good service. The food was excellent. It was great. It was great. I'd go back to Charlie's on the Lake. Is there two of them, by the way?
I don't know. I've never been to the first one, so I don't know if there's two.
I don't know. Anyway, it was really good. We had a great experience, so just wasn't many people there. But it was a Tuesday night.
That's good. Why would you?
Somebody told me, though, right? Well, Sean was like, "Sipples, Tuesday night." Like, was the Anvil? Or was there?
He says a couple tables.
Couple tables.
It's also a town of 800 people versus a town of a million.
On a Tuesday.
Stream Southwest Omaha.
You did not have to get reservations.
Yeah, I mean, Curtis has three options. You have a million options in Omaha. So that's why it wouldn't be so packed.
Yeah, there's a Buffalo Wing. There's a Buffalo Wild Wings right down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get to Southwest Omaha very much, but that's where we were, Southwest Omaha.
I'll have to check it out sometime.
Okay, what are we talking about?
That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by our friends at 738 Ag. We said it right today. They don't guess. They game plan using soil tests, yield maps, and field data. They help farmers call the right shots for their ground. Check them out today at 738ag.com in Bertrand. And see the blue moose on the way up there.
Joey had time to talk to me. He just got out of an insurance meeting in Bertrand. Imagine the insurance you have for an operation like they have. Insane. But I appreciate the time that they had. They all took time. That's what was incredible, because they were running. I mean, when you pulled up, there was probably 30 pickups there from employees, and there was semis whipping around.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's an operation.
It was an operation going on, and I felt like kind of like out of place a little bit that I was eating up their time, but they acted like it was no big deal. But right when they got done, I said that they didn't even take time. They don't even eat lunch. They don't take time for it. They have to eat it on the run. They get some nutrition, but it's all on the run. There's no time for a sit down meal at all. They're out the door and going.
Got to be careful with that, because you want to stay properly fed.
Yeah, keep your blood sugar up, right?
Well, I mean, just for general health. You don't want to blow off that too much.
No. He says they're eating on the run, though.
I know.
So sit down to eat.
Just counsel Joey to.
Once in a while, sit down.
Think long term.
Okay.
I don't think there's many hot beef sandwiches happening there. I think they don't have time for that.
You don't want
to hot business. Beef. You ever notice that when someone at your table, if someone at my table orders a hot beef in front of me, I'm just like, I just shut my menu. I'm just like, that's it.
That's
hot
the one.
Beef right here, too.
Yeah.
That's a glorious meal.
It is pretty good.
That sounds good right now.
That does sound really good right now.
Right now, they bury the entire meal in gravy. And when you bury an entire meal in gravy, you got a chance to have food Xanadu coming at you.
Now you got me hungry for hot beef.
You know where to go for lunch today. Find some hot beef.
Where would be the top hot beef in Lincoln?
Well, let's think about this right now.
Well, I don't think Wings Rings would have hot beef sandwich. Uh-uh. It's a chicken place. Wings.
I know. Big Red has a good one.
Is there a chance that Early Bird would have a hot beef sandwich?
Yes, I think so.
I'm gonna say there's a chance. Not sure.
Not for sure. Yeah. Hot
we'll
beef.
Have to seek
if you're okay, Virginia's Cafe. Guarantee it.
Potential.
Yeah, they would have one.
Yeah. Guarantee.
That sounds pretty.
If you just want to whip down Cornhusker,
I'll meet you at Virginia's for lunch for hot beef.
When you go to a cafe, I think it's almost implied you're going to get the hot beef. If you show up at 12:04, I think it's like we're going to get the hot beef, right?
I bet if you're ranking the possibilities that people get, based on what they've gotten recently, I bet you hot beef sandwiches, particularly this time of year, is high on the list. I bet a hamburger is on the list.
I'm hearing that Rosie's has a hot beef sandwich. The Engine House has a hot beef sandwich. And also,
I don't know why I didn't say Rosie's, too. I've had it. I've had Rosie's probably 15 times.
Engine House.
And Stauffer's, where Swim was doing a speech last week at 48th.
Hot beef.
And Old Cheney has a hot beef sandwich, apparently.
48th and Old Cheney. He was speaking to the optimists.
He was. So there we go. Now we
Rosie's
know
what Rosie's has two sides, and sometimes it's corn and beans, and then I opt for double corn.
That's a good idea. You smother the corn in there. Oh, but you don't smother the corn in there, do you?
I do. I don't smother it, but I will dual bite. I will put a little bit of potato on my fork and then dab it in some corn. So I'll get it all in one flavorful bite.
Me and Bill.
I don't mix it.
Well, yeah, me and Bill are way different because I mix. I mix. I'll mix
that's
anything.
Fine.
Yeah.
If it's not on the plate, you can mix it. That's okay.
I'm mixing.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of mixing.
Well, that's where you find hot beef sandwiches in Lincoln.
There's a lot going on. There's Husker Concrete truck out there. We have the
hats. Big truck.
Okay, this is enough. Good God.
All right, that's out of chit-chat. Moving
random,
on. 464-5685. Call or text the show as always. Matt Rhule at the podium yesterday addressing new hires, different things. Well, how was yesterday, Sip, before we get into his audio?
Well, I mean, it was...
Was he energetic?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty interesting day. I mean, right off the bat, we're sitting there. Everybody's got their computers out, etc. And he announces that Terry Braden's been fired.
Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. Did you know your calendar age doesn't always match how old your body truly is? It's true. Your biological age, the age of your cells and organs, is actually the top predictor of your risk for serious diseases like heart disease, cancer, dementia, and more. That's why learning your biological age can be truly life-changing, and that's exactly what the True Age test from True Diagnostic helps you do. It's a simple at-home test, and you can uncover your true biological age and get personalized insights into your true biological age and take control of your health like never before. No doctor visits, no labs, just a quick finger prick from the comfort of your home. This part really inspired me. Up to 90% of biological aging is driven by lifestyle. That means the way we eat, move, sleep, and manage stress plays a massive role in how fast or slow our bodies age. The test itself is super easy. Just a quick, painless finger prick. You send in your sample using a prepaid mailer, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you get a detailed online report with actionable insights you can use. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to TrueDiagnostic.com and use my code EARLYBREAK to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's TrueDiagnostic.com and use EARLYBREAK at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. Listen, I know it's hard to eat healthy and commit to that, especially during the holiday season, and it's hard to do it because you're giving up on flavor and fun. Well, good news. Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American-grown. Picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar, just fruit as nature intended. For you calorie counters, only 80 calories per cup. They're a great source of fiber. And these raspberries really bring bright flavor and vibrant color to make every dish feel special. You can keep a bag in the freezers. You can add a pop of flavor and feel good nutrition anytime. By the way, this is available at Costco, Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. You want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag of these delicious berries? Go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find recipes, health tips, retail locations, and everything you need to make frozen Washington red raspberries a regular part of your routine. That's redraz.org, redraz.org. And remember, look for product of the U.S. on the bag. Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, so every gift feels special and thoughtfully chosen. For example, I just got a Miami Dolphins whiskey board that fits my bar perfectly in my basement with four glasses for tasters when friends come over. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers and sports fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. Every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Like, so Sean, of course, just scrambles up a story. Matt Rhule says, I'll pause here while you guys, I know you got to tweet that out. he's right. Everybody has to tweet out. So Terry Braden, one year as D-line coach. That was it. He's done. Not necessarily a surprise, but I mean, I was asked yesterday, do you get a fair shake? I don't know. What's that mean? I don't. That's a philosophical discussion. He only got 1 year. I always say when I judge a coach, I need two or three to see what he brings in and give a chance for his teachings to settle in. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. You bring in new management, and that's what they did. They brought in a new defensive coordinator. Things are going to change. Terry Braden's out. Bam, move on to the next guy. So that was that. He did have a lot. Now, this is where you get the sound ready. Mm-hmm. Why did he pick Rob Orich to be the defensive coordinator, a 30-something from San Diego State?
Well, the biggest thing with Rob is it's purely the tape. I mean, when I watch the tape, it's the play style that I want. You know, I mean, you just see people flying around. You see people playing at a really high level. And for both stops, whether it was Idaho or whether it was San Diego State, it was in his first year as coordinator. It wasn't like, hey, this is going to take 2 years. This is going to take 3 years. It was like right off the bat. So I just fell in love with the tape. I fell in love with the film. The interview was very, very non-traditional. I mean, we brought him in here on Saturday. First thing he did was he sat down with Phil Snow and met with him for an hour, talked, and then went with Susan and Jarrett, and they toured the building, and then met me and my son, and we went over to Firethorn and sat down and showed him a couple neighborhoods and sat down and had lunch. And then he went and watched three youth basketball games with me. Like, no PowerPoint, no chalkboard. He had to just talk football with me with the chaos of a basketball gym and all that. Because, you know, that's a lot of this job is, like, anybody can prepare, anybody can present, but who can think fast? And I was blown away. I canceled a couple of interviews and just, you know, still a couple of people I wanted to talk to in terms of references, but some of the most respected people I know said, you absolutely need to hire this guy. So I think it was his personality, but as much as anything else, it was the tape.
Okay, there you go. Orich apparently is kind of a live wire. He got strong recommendations from Jason Eck and Matt Entz, according to Rule. Matt Entz, Jake, is whom?
Fresno State's head coach. We learned yesterday on the show.
Former North Dakota State head coach. And then Jason Eck, of course, is New Mexico's head coach.
Now, you did follow up a question, Sip. Now, he says at the youth basketball game.
So he said, do I got to explain this?
Please really? Do. And then we'll
let Bill judge this. I was mocked for this. I don't understand why. You played the tape. Did he specify whose game he was
No,
at?
He did not.
He did not. So what my... into my mind was, Bill, was, okay, I'm going to write this stuff. I don't know what basketball games he was at. He didn't specify. And I know I'm going to write this. And right in my mind, I was already down the road like, am I going to have to text him later and say, hey, by the way, whose games were you at? And so I asked him. I said, "Who? Did you know these people?" That's what
Did you know somebody playing in those basketball games?
My daughters. Yeah. Yeah. I don't just go to youth games. I mean, it's a little creepy. My daughters were playing. Oh, my daughters.
Hey, Coach, you mentioned that.
I can't believe that question. I'm sorry. No, I went and saw my daughters play. Yeah.
Do you understand?
You're just trying to get facts here.
Do you understand why you would ask that?
I get that.
Because you don't. You could make the assumption, I guess, but then it could come back on you. Like, no, he wasn't watching he wasn't watching daughters. He was watching a staff member's kid. No, so that's all it was.
I think it's a fine question to ask. People made fun of it, but right. You're just trying to get details here. Facts.
A lot of mocking.
Journalist here, Bill. He's a journalist.
I'm not on board with the rest of the population on this one. No, that was a mocking. No, I'm not good. I'm for people mocking Steve. Not
he's
a
getting answers here,
coach, but a mocking of others like that. When I listened to it, been listening to it, I wouldn't have felt like I knew exactly what was going on. And there's a lot of people in that room that laughed, and they didn't know either. Mm-hmm. So
Bill, thank you.
Broke an awkward silence there, so thank you, Sip.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Bill and Jake. I he also talked about Jeep Wade and that hiring. Jeep Wade is the new offensive line coach. You know, they moved on from Donovan. So what they did, Bill, is they changed what they're doing in the trenches in terms of leadership. So fired Braden, fired Donovan. Jeep Wade's the new offensive line coach.
I think it's more for me as we move forward. As we move forward, you know, as I talked to Rob, he had some visions of how he wanted it to be, you know, and so that was an area that, you know, he had some notions about. Hey, I want this is important to me. So, you know, I think it's important that, you know, to have the coordinator come in and have like, hey, here's your staff. That's really hard to do. And so have some people that are familiar with what he does, you know, so it's, you know, I think that was on one side. And then I think just, you know, in terms of on the offensive line play, just, you know, as we move forward kind of with Dana's offense and where we want to go, just looked at, there's nothing about what happened before we, you know, it's just really just looking at Jeep and the recruiter that he is, you know, just the scheme that he runs, I think it fits really well with Dana. So, you know, at the end of the year, I thought we ran the football. I was very complimentary of our offensive line. So it's nothing about that. I think Donovan's one of the best offensive line coaches. I just think this is just a fit thing for, as we move forward. And, I don't want to minimize, you know, Jeep's impact. I think we can have in recruiting. You know, we'll probably announce another addition here at some point that I think will also have major impact. But it's just not done yet. I don't want to say it until it's done offensively. So I think, you know, there's some things that we want to do moving forward that don't necessarily reflect like anything that we didn't do past. It's just, hey, how do we make this jump? Like, we've gotten ourselves to be a respected football team, but we want to become a great one. And just bringing in some guys that I think can help us do that.
Now, Bill, I was reading last night, Husker Online, on three. Steve Sippel wrote about this potential addition that Matt Rhule talked about there. What's the scoop on that?
Oh, so
you have some intel here, possibly, who that guy might be.
He's been writing.
He has been busy.
The Breakers are wondering. He's been writing.
That's not. I mean, reporter Sam McEwen broke this story actually yesterday. Rhule mentioned during the press conference that he was going to target another offensive coach that would have a major impact. So he didn't name the coach because it's probably not finalized in an HR sense. But that coach is Lonnie Teasley, who just completed his third season as South Carolina's offensive line coach. He will not be the offensive line coach at Nebraska. His role, in fact, is undetermined. Maybe just as simple as assistant offensive line coach. Now, he's fired at South Carolina. They were 4-8, 1-7 in the SEC. But he's got a landing spot. He's a guy with, you know, obviously SEC experience. And he worked for Rhule, probably most importantly, he worked for Rhule as an assistant offensive line coach for Temple in 2014. So that's what everybody, you know, Rhule dropped it that we're going to make another hire. So it was like, oh God, I wonder who that is. And then Sam kind of ferreted it out during the afternoon, and that was it. So that now what's left? I don't not a lot. I mean, I wouldn't think there's much. Rhule said he's not firing anybody else. He's not going to make any more moves, but the new defensive coordinator might come in and make a move. But Addison Williams, obviously safe, the secondary coach that Rhule said would be back. They got to hire a D-line coach. Now, so you ask, what about Rob Dvorak, the linebackers coach?
I would ask that, yes.
Yeah, what about Phil Simpson, the outside linebackers coach? I don't know what will happen. I don't know. Like, there was some – these settings, Bill, are challenging. There's a lot of reporters. You don't get to ask a lot of questions. Like, my question right now is, okay, Rhule says he's not firing anybody else, but what if Rob Orich comes in and says, I want a different linebackers coach and I want a different edges coach. I want a different outside linebackers coach. Then is that going to be change? I don't know. That's what I would have liked to ask.
Most likely that was all negotiated prior to. Okay. I don't think it's like that all of a sudden 2 weeks from now, hey, I'd like a different inside linebacker coach. And that was, well, we never discussed this during the process. Hmm. You know, I would imagine maybe he just felt comfortable with one person coming with him, and that was a D-line coach. So
okay.
That's the spot that's available. Maybe there's something else to that. He'll probably most people always have an analyst that travels with them from behind the scenes and know how they want things done. But it also might come back that, like you said, that could easily happen where it's like, you know, the decision was that I need a different linebacker coach because it's just someone I'm comfortable with and I know. It's not so much a on the reason of the change, but it's just they wanted someone he's more comfortable with. But in generally, that would all been negotiated heads prior to.
Okay, so it's not a case where like Rob Orridge, the new defensive coordinator, would come in and say, I kind of want to watch these guys for a few weeks and see what they're about. That doesn't happen?
That could happen, yeah. That could easily happen. You meet with them, get a chance to know them. Mm-hmm. You have different opportunities through practice to be able to view practice and with everything going on at one time. Also, I imagine you're probably, you know, right now with with some coaches being let go and new hires coming in, I mean, that's three coaches, and all of a sudden, if there's three more that get let go like that, that's a pretty big turnover. A couple more in your staff, it's like that's, you know, that three's a lot, five and six is really a lot.
That's so like a restart.
It's a reset,
Just trying to avoid having some continuity potentially in that area.
Does this have the feel of a reset?
I don't know what you call this.
I don't know if it's a reset. I don't know. You know, you said you're going into year four right now. That, you know, you got to be past a reset, I would believe. And I don't see it being a reset, especially with the availability now of the portal and bringing players in. But there's a little bit of a reset. Anytime you bring in a new coordinator, that's going to be somewhat of a reset because and then the question is just going to be how much terminology does he keep the same? How much is he bringing on his own? But like I said, just, they'll figure it out. Whatever, you know, there's so much discussion about the three-man front and four-man front. And like I said, every place I've ever been, we played all of them. And that's generally what you see now. I mean, you'll see teams in the even front, the odd front, the different looks that they'll be in. So everyone plays different versions of with what's going on. So you'll see a little bit of everything, I would imagine.
Okay. I mean, his base, is it meaningful, Bill? I'm just seeking counsel at this point.
Counsel's good.
Is it meaningful that his base is a 4-2-5? Is Rob Orridge?
So 4-2-5 is the same as a 4-3, just so you know. So 4-2-5 and 4-3 is the same. The only difference is 4-3 is what you play against two wide receiver defense, and 4-2-5 is what you play against a three wide receiver defense.
Gosh. Okay. So I'm going to tell you something. Okay. I'm going to get to this is interesting. So Bill, I asked him about the 4-2-5.
Yes, you did.
And Bill Bush, former college football coach, says it's basically the same as the 4-3. Michael Sevier texted me the other day and said the 4-2-5 is basically the same as the 3-3-5. See, this is why layman
coach.
This is exactly. Well, yeah, or whatever. I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying this is why layman like me get confused.
There's only one difference in the 4-3 and 4-2-5 is that you take the Sam backer out and the nickel goes in. That's the difference in it. And also when it's written down on paper, I think nothing of it because everyone's in all kinds of different fronts with what they're doing.
That's the correct answer.
I've not watched it, but if you saw 3-3-5 last year under Tony White, you didn't see hardly any of that this year. There was not much 3-3-5, which means a zero nose and 2-5 techniques with a linebacker or a jack or whatever the position would be becoming the fourth D lineman and created an over or under front based off of that. That was not seen very much this year from watching Nebraska. There may have been a couple snaps. I'd never say never. Same thing when someone writes down that they're a 4-3 team on a piece of paper, and you go, okay, good. We'll prepare to block a four-man front, which means you're going to line up in tens, which is two inside, which means there's 2-1 techniques. A tray look, which means 2-3 techniques or 2 eyes and 3 techniques, all those different things that they have right there. And it's written down on paper means nothing because they'll do all kinds of different stuff. So if they think the offensive coordinator is reading, they're a 4-2-5 and this is our game plan. That's not true. They're going to look at what they see on film.
Right. See, this is very informative to you, Jake, and me, layman, because we get so, Bill, I'm telling you, it's hard for you to put yourself in the mind of a sports writer or a just
remember in the 4-2-5, all they're identifying is personnel, which means they have 4 D linemen, they have 2 linebackers, and they have 5 DBs. And so the 5th DB is basically a Sam backer, which is more athletic.
See, what Michael says is here's what he says, and I'm not saying Michael's wrong, it's just a different way to look at it. The 4-2-5 is basically the same as the 3-3-5. He said, you just call the weak side defensive end a different name other than the jack. That makes sense. Does that make sense, Bill? Perhaps not.
Not to me.
Okay.
We'll move on from that.
Yeah, we'll move on.
Anything else from the, Matt Rule?
This is why I do not get bogged down in those discussions. 4-3 guy, 3-2, 4-2-5 guy, 3-3-5. It doesn't really, it's not irrelevant, but it can be sort of irrelevant.
You don't get a wave your hands from the other side when they line up in a five-man front or something different. You don't get to wave your hands across the, hey, guys, you guys said this is what you guys are, and now you guys are doing something way different. This is crazy talk. You know, you don't talk during the, you know, pregame, make sure we have it all aligned with what they're going to do. But that's not, like I said, in the history of college football, that's not how things are written up.
Okay. He was also asked about bowl preparation and just playing Utah.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's why you have Phil Snow. It's why you have Dan Holgorsen, why you have Mike Eckler, right? I mean, Phil is a rock, and, you know, from day one, like, it's been like, hey, Phil, I need you to do this, and it's like, hey, let's get it done, right? So, you know, even Eckler, you know, doing double duty, you know, I mean, that's why you have guys like that. So to step up and get our players to play well and get our players to play better, you know, We were a defense that was top 15 in the country going into our last two games, and we were a defense the last two games that had what happened. And so I can't control who we play. I can't control how good Utah is. I can't control the guys who said, hey, I'm not going to play in the game. But the guys that we do have, we have to play better than we played those last two games, right? And so I can think of no better person for that on defense than Phil, right? I mean, it's not going to be scheme. It's going to be effort and technique. I can think, you know, no better person than Dana. And excited than X. So I'm kind of handling all this stuff. Pat Stewart's handling personnel, and those guys are handling the football stuff. And then I think, you know, like I said, I think Rob getting here will really kind of help us just all, you know, settle down. And I think the players have been really good about it. So.
Okay, so Rob Arich, the way my understanding is, he's not going to lead the defense. It's Phil Snow and Mike Eckler, but Jeep Wade is active.
He's going to coach, yeah.
Yeah, he's actively coaching. The other biggest takeaway this month for me so far is those last two games rocked the program. Rule, I think you just say Rule's just angry. And I don't know if those two games, if they go well, he's not making changes probably. Those two games led to these changes basically. I mean, they had USC 14-6. They're going to be 7-2 if they win that game. And then that happened. And then those two games happened, and it changed everything.
Thoughts in the season in terms of a writer, a fan, everybody. The whole assessment changed with those because it's blowouts. It wasn't just you lost. You got crushed by Penn State, and you got crushed by Iowa.
Butler, that got Butler fired for sure. Yeah. I mean, that's what got him fired. And I would say Donovan, to a certain extent, I just don't think he's making all this level of change doesn't happen without those two games. Those two games were huge for this program, in that they caused change, pretty massive change, right?
Yes, and Nebraska's still looking for a defensive line coach. Elijah Robinson's a rumor still there. LSU obviously after him too, but we'll see what happens. There.
Right,
but that's nothing's official anywhere.
Thank you for bringing up that name. I haven't gotten into that far down the road. A lot of people are, I guess, just taking for granted Elijah Robinson's going to be the D-line.
And I'm not, because LSU wants him as well, as the rumor. He was interested in Lane Kiffin's staff.
Okay.
So there's Matt Rule's update from yesterday. Before we get to break, if you were hungry for breakfast, brunch, or lunch in downtown Lincolnville, what would you say in the Breakers this morning?
The Bird.
Early Bird is open right now all the way till 2 p.m. every day of the week. They have breakfast nachos, breakfast tacos, waffles, pancakes, French toast, and the world-famous hash holes.
Hash holes.
There it is. Hash holes.
Yes, yeah, stop by today. Early Bird, 19th K. Free and spacious parking every day of the week in downtown Lincoln. When we come back and look at Nebraska ball, ranked matchup tonight against Wisconsin. Can they get to a 10-0? It's up next at Early Break from the Ticket.